1332. Here's an opposing point of view. I want to read you something. A tweet. Dear Dan, I served your government as an economist until 10th of September 2020. I have resigned to protest your police state. I didn't come to Australia to be a slave of whimsical government. You have not implemented risk-based management, no evidence-based policy, no cost-benefit analysis, no justification, just whimsy. You must reset Victoria's politics right now. If you won't, then go. The tweet was addressed to the Premier, written by a man called Sanjeev Sablok. Until last week, he was an economist, a public servant with the Victorian Department of Treasury and Finance. He'd been there 15 years, but he quit over this. Sanjeev Sablok, good morning.
Morning, morning, Neil. How are you?
What? After a big step after 15 years, couldn't you have made your point without quitting?
Unfortunately, that wasn't possible in this case for the simple reason that my efforts within the department to raise the matter in terms of the good policy process that is required, the risk-based approaches and age-based management and all that stuff was basically rebuffed. And in fact, I wasn't raising this matter publicly till I finally got personally involved when I was forced to wear a mask, wearing up, you know, while climbing uphill in a park. And I asked the chief health officer, that didn't happen. And so finally the thing got aggravated. And I realized that, I had to be exceeded my bounds. And it was my responsibility as well as mentioned that. And I said, let me quit.
Yeah. So what was your role within the Department of Treasury?
I was a senior economist. I was basically advising on planning, urban planning, that is Melbourne's city policy, and also local government policy.
So would that role in any way encompass the issue of the COVID pandemic and how it's managed?
Not directly, but we do have, obviously, access to our senior executives, and so I had raised the matter. And apart from that, I think there is a standard regulatory requirement in the Victorian Guide to Regulation, which is what we have been using for the last 15 years, at least I've used. That is the process of considering the nature and magnitude of the problem, looking at the options, looking at the costs and benefits of the various options, and then implementing the best one that we can find. So unfortunately, I think because of the emergency situation, this particular due process wasn't implemented. And I think that's been one of my great problems, that we have potentially gone down the less optimal path for Victoria.
At what level did you raise your concerns within the public service? How high up?
It was fairly high. I wouldn't go into the details at this stage.
But senior people within Department of Treasury and Finance.
Very senior people.
And what did you say? We're mucking this up. We've got to have a different approach.
I think I made it clear that from the very beginning that we need to have a proper risk assessment. And the virus is basically obviously affecting the most seriously the people who are in their 70s and 80s. We need to do active management of those people. And for the rest, we need to have due precautions based also on their age. And it is challenging, and I understand that. But unfortunately, by locking down the whole society, which I have opposed for a very long time, in a separate capacity, by the way, I'm also a leader of some sort in India. And I have a lot of work on the I have a blog on Times of India. I publish articles, and I've been raising this concern about lockdowns not being either scientifically validated nor good for the society.
Okay. Well, when you raised these issues within the Victorian Public Service, were you told it's nothing to do with you, or what were you told?
I think there was a clear message saying that this is a matter for the DHHS.
Okay.
That was what I was told. And I understand that because of the nature of the emergency, it is possible that the department did not have a role to play in advising on the regular policy options, that it normally does. I'm not sure of that.
Okay. Now, you're an economist, you've got a PhD in economics, you've worked on the inside, you've got a master's degree. You can now tell us, what state is Victoria's economy in? What is the economic management of the Andrews government? Is it as good as we're told or not?
I'm afraid not. I'm afraid Victoria has at each stage dug itself into a deeper hole. The unfortunate situation is that the very basic common sense factor is that Victoria's lockdowns or curfews will not kill the virus on planet Earth. It will not disappear just because we do all these things. It will come the moment you open them. And so the issue was about managing it in the most sensible manner. And we do not do that. But what we have done is we've actually crushed And largely, the ones who are not well-paid, like people like me, were okay, we were working from home, but it's largely the people who were unable to work from home.
Okay.
Those are the ones who suffer the most. And these are the people, and I'm not sure about the data on, you know, psychological health, but I suspect that's going to be quite a big issue as well.
Okay. Thank you very much for speaking to us. I appreciate your time. Sanjeev Sablok, former, until a few days ago, economist, senior economist of Victorian Department of Treasury and Finance.